It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning. As promised, the Lightning is on the streets, the Lightning is in your mailboxes, and the Lightning is on the radio. It is time for us to get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning, to get in the know of what is going on in our community. Bill Moss joining us, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning, Bill. Nice to have you in with Lightning Radio once again.
Good morning. Happy to be back here on this week's Lightning Radio.
As always, we've got lots to cover. So let's get started. First of all, let's get back to more on election coverage. We've got more election reaction and analysis, as only the Lightning can do it. So, Bill, give us a breakdown. Continue to tell us what happened and why and all the X's and O's.
Yeah, we got more reaction and analysis that we didn't have time to actually do or report on or talk about last week. This really important election doesn't happen all that often. It's happened a few times. McGrady over Grady Hawkins, Bill Lapsley over Bill O'Connor, and I'm sorry, Lapsley over Larry Young.
Right,
and,
right.
And then Grady Hawkins in a comeback over Bill O'Connor. So we've had that where voters decide to pink slip the incumbents,
sure,
and that
sure
happened in a big way this past Tuesday of last week in what the Lightning calls in a kicker overhead, saying a message election. Here's what happened. The tapping into homeowners' anxiety about traffic, disruptive zoning, and even climate change, the challengers, Sheila Franklin and Jay Egoff, took to the campaign trail to remind voters that the elected leaders had retreated on strong land conservation measures and the 2045 comp plan, still on the table, pending, granted higher intensity development requests over neighbors' objections, and voted to delete a land use code prohibition against construction in floodways. So the point being that early on, Franklin and Egoff decided that they could use a powerful weapon against the incumbents, which was their voting record.
Right.
The old basic standard of politics.
Right.
Some just
right
finished battling a proposed asphalt plant in East Flat Rock, Egoff said at a forum at the Etowah Lions Club in January. A packed forum, by the way, of all the folks battling that duplex subdivision on the golf course.
Yep.
Others battled storage units in the Crab Creek area, he continued to remind the voters. And still others are currently fighting density and growth concerns right here in Etowah. We're at a crossroads. Which way are we going to go? And finally, the Lightning concludes, well, four, stronger zoning protection of residential areas. This could be possible. Four, flood prevention measures, and potentially four, robust land conservation and farm preservation plans. That was the message of the voters. And then, Mark, one other thing I wanted to point out.
No, please.
That we do have here in this week's Lightning. We had time to investigate and put together a chart of some targeted some precincts where a variety of these very disruptive kind of land use cases had happened. This chart, it shows voting totals in precincts that were the sites of disruptive land use cases, zoning cases, including the asphalt plant, a sewer plant on Clear Creek, storage units, as we mentioned, a drug rehab facility that is on Fort Creek Road in the near Saluda, the large duplex development, that's the Etowah Valley, and a mountain bike park that is in Green River. So what happened? It's actually mixed results. Countywide, it was Franklin over Daniel Andreotta, 64-36%, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So hold that fact. Hold those numbers in your head. While it was Jay Egoff, 58-42 over incumbent David Heel.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did happen in Crab Creek? Really not that actually Andreotta performed better. That was only 58-42 for Franklin. Egoff performed, but Egoff performed better than countywide in 61-38. The big one, of course, the big ones being They both, by quite a lot, particularly Egoff, bettered their countywide percent in Etowah South, which was Franklin, 68-32, and Egoff, 62-37. And then here's the biggest one of all, Etowah Valley, just right on the golf course there.
Yep.
That precinct is 73-27 for Franklin, and 70-30. I think that's where – I think that's – Egoff's, it is, his single best performance.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
As we suspected, they would come out big time. And then finally, I think we have eight in all, but one other worthy of mention is Fletcher, where voters have elected Franklin already four times to the Fletcher Town Council.
Right.
So, as we suspected, she did very well there, beating her own countywide total by 9 points. So, she wins there 73-27, and Egoff does, he beats his own slightly, looks like 59-41 in that one. So you can check all that out on the jump on page four.
That is so interesting. I really appreciate that breakdown. It's interesting to look and see how the county voted and who they voted for. Now, it's not over for Franklin. She will be going up against a Democrat in the general election on my birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, there you go. November 5. Mark it on your calendar.
Yes.
In red, there's certainly a lot less daylight between Sheila Franklin and Eric Weber,
right,
than there was between Daniel Andreotta and Sheila Franklin. So finally, what else might we expect? Let's go back to one of our favorite topics, this floodplain vote, where we point out that big January 9 rainstorm that caused widespread flooding and closed dozens of roads didn't help the incumbents, reminding voters that Andreotta and Hill had joined Commissioner Michael Edney in that 3-2 vote last October to relax building restrictions in floodways. Mm-hmm. And Andreotta defended it in that Republican Men's Club forum in January, saying it just lets landowners put something in part of a floodplain only, not a floodway. That's false. It was floodway. And insisting that next to nothing has really changed, end quote, to which Franklin fires back, "I'm sorry, you got it wrong. I would have voted against it based on the experts," and so forth. And then finally, we end the story by saying, well, Ms. Franklin, what would you do? It looked like if this were to come up, or would you bring it up to rescind this, to reverse that vote? she said she'd happily take part in what could be, since you still have Bill Lapsey and Chair Rebecca McCall on the commission, could be a 4-1 vote to reverse that. And she goes, absolutely I would. I'm not an expert in many things, but I'm intelligent enough to take expert advice. And I heard that resounding at that October meeting from the planning board and from the commissioner, which is Bill Lapsey, who has plenty of engineering experience. And you don't have to be an expert to see what happens to some of the floodplains that we have.
So you say if there's a vote to rescind, that's at 4-1, you would say that one would be Edney.
If he votes the same way, unless he reverses his own position.
Before we get off this story, let me just ask you this, Bill. I don't know if this is asking you to put on your editorial hat or not. Is this ultimately a bit of a win for NIMBY Nation?
There's no doubt about it. You got all the things I just mentioned. You've got...
I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing.
I mean,
I'm asking if that's the question.
You've got traffic, but there's a couple of other. Yes, it definitely is that. It's a win for homeowners associations. It's a win for particularly large subdivisions that are sort of close enough in either to Fletcher or Hendersonville to maybe be attractive for some kind of incompatible commercial development.
Yep.
Those, in a way that, frankly, with my editorial hat on, if this is not just a NIMBY Nation tilt, but more of, oh, no, there's no commercial zoning ever again, that's going to be a problem, because then, you know, commercial zonings that bring things that we might need are doomed. And it also means that will just increase land prices, and it has a downside to it for sure, in my opinion. But I would say one other thing that we haven't talked about as much. In the case of Andreotta, he had these extracurricular, you might say, that weren't zoning votes, but where he put his foot in his mouth in a variety of ways. He got the Flat Rock Playhouse against him.
Yeah.
He got the black community against him in one fairly dramatic and unpleasant case.
Yeah.
And the people who pay attention to the city of Hendersonville with his pretty frequent anti-city of Hendersonville comments.
Yeah.
He had more liabilities than David Hill did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see that. Let's stay on the front page. Can you believe it? We're this far in and we're still on the front page, although we did go to page four also. We'll hit this before we take our break. City Council, I'm really curious to this story. I've got a lot of questions. City Council okays merger of ABC boards. First of all, I'm showing my ignorance here. I thought there was only one ABC board. I didn't realize there were more.
Yeah. This comes under kind of a big deal that no one will notice.
Right.
But, I mean, it's a big deal for financially. It's a big deal for the ABC boards, and it's a big deal for the town of Laurel Park, the town council, and the city of Hendersonville, but almost not a big deal. Sort of a big deal maybe for the real highly specialized, high-demand bourbon consumer,
uh-huh.
but not a big deal for the average ABC shopper. And there's a lot of people that don't even do that. But that's what happened Thursday night. Hendersonville City Council endorsed this merger of the Hendersonville and Laurel Park ABC boards under an agreement that would put the four liquor stores in the two towns under one governing board. There will be savings. There will be economies of scale for both. Chuck McGrady, Hendersonville ABC board member, who is the one that advocated and sort of is driving this reform. He specialized, Mark, you'll remember, in ABC reform
yep.
during his five terms in the State House, including a bunch of stuff that helped us get the Sierra Nevada Brewing Company into Mills River
yeah.
in 2011 and 2012. The State ABC Commission, well, let me go back to some other reasons. They've got different accounting audits. That, you know, they're paying quite a lot to their accounting firms and for an annual audit.
Oh, sure.
They'll only have to pay one.
Okay.
The big thing at play here is Hendersonville gets alcohol delivered from the state warehouse once a week because of its size and its volume. Laurel Park gets alcohol delivered once every 2 weeks. Why does that matter? Well, I think it matters how much inventory they have in stock and whether they can get the good stuff. Hendersonville can get more of the good stuff. Laurel Park, not so much. And as you mentioned, not knowing about ABC, we actually have three ABC boards for our five liquor stores. As public policy, this is not the way you'd run an efficient an efficient business. All these single stores across the state and with its own governing board and administrative costs. But the reason they can do, I'll go ahead and anticipate one of your questions. So why didn't he pull in Fletcher?
Right.
It has to do with this. This is easy because the various ABC units distribute their profit in different ways. In this case, Laurel Park and Hendersonville actually distribute their profits in exactly the same way. And I think by that he means the same formula
uh-huh.
for giving it to the cities of Hendersonville and
yep.
Laurel Park,
yep.
the public library, the schools, and various alcohol rehab or, keep juveniles from buying alcohol kinds of programs.
Right.
Laurel Park is a little hesitant at this point. It's in the hands of our attorney. Mayor Kerry O'Kane told the Lightning, not much I can say right now. One point of contention, apparently, that the Lightning discovered reading between the lines is that Laurel Park has a big customer, that they want this agreement to basically guarantee they keep. Can you guess who that might be? It's a commercial customer. In other words, liquor stores like Hendersonville, let's say Hendersonville supplies Kenmure, right? That
okay.
would be important.
Uh-huh.
Laurel Park supplies the Hendersonville Country Club.
Of course. Of course. It's so simple it plumb eluded me. Of course.
So, and thus the answer. So why not Fletcher? Fletcher distributes its profits very differently. So you could not make this deal without negatively affecting revenues into the town of Fletcher. In other words, they looked at it and they said, that's just too complicated. Forget it. Fletcher can be the sovereign republic of Fletcher and when it comes to liquor.
I want to say thank you, Bill, to you and Hendersonville Lightning, because these are the kind of stories that you don't necessarily hear about, but it's very, very interesting. So it's not happened yet. It's still
It will happen July.
Okay. All right. So what will it become? What will the title of it be?
There you go. Blue Ridge ABC, Blue Ridge ABC system.
Okay.
Under the terms of the agreement, the city would appoint the first chair of the Blue Ridge Board for a 2-year term. Subsequent appointments of the chair would be for 1 year, with the appointment alternating between the Laurel Park Town Council and the Hendersonville City Council. The chair would receive $500 per meeting, and other members would get $150. An organizational meeting of the Blue Ridge ABC Board and the Blue Ridge ABC system would take place the first week of July.
Okay. So what has to happen in order for this to...
Laurel Park to adopt it, and this North Carolina ABC board in Raleigh, ABC commission in Raleigh to adopt it.
Okay.
And sing hosannas over it.
Any prediction?
I think it's going to come to pass. There's already been too much work, too much lawyering put into it.
Too much work cleared
to Raleigh, where, of course, Chuck McGrady has connections and influence. He's told the Lightning. It's also in the story. I can tell you that the ABC Commission has already signed off on it.
Okay.
Because, again, these mergers, they wish there was 100 mergers of all the many, many. There's 100 counties. They probably don't all have liquor stores, but many, many of them do. He told me about... I think it's Wilmington area, New Hanover County.
Uh-huh.
It was like a dozen ABC boards. It was a bunch.
Really?
It was a bunch of separate ABC boards.
Interesting.
Like one store ABC boards.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, though, to look at that and think, oh, wow, merge, and now we combine our accounting systems. We combine these are less costs. So that makes total sense. Again, thank you for covering that story, and we look forward to hearing the rest of it, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
We'll bird dog it.
All right. You are listening to Lightning Radio. We're going to take a break, but we're coming back. We had a huge groundbreaking of the Fairmont. We got police blotter and more on Charlotte the Stingray coming up on Lightning Radio.
Cold weather is coming, so now is the time to get prepared. Kaysen Oil has quality heating oil products and experience you can trust. Let the experts at Kaysen Oil help you heat your home with reputable brands, superior customer service, and competitive prices. Call Kaysen Oil at 693-0246 today to schedule your delivery. Kaysen Oil, family-owned and operated, serving the community for over 50 years. Again, the number to call is 693-0246. Kaysen Oil, stay warm and stay fueled.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family-owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto to outdoor vehicles and watercraft, with Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A or at barnettandcoats.com.
Canuga invites you to Easter brunch from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Easter Sunday. Enjoy the grounds as Canuga's hiking and walking trails will be open. Canuga Lake will be open for relaxing and boating with canoes and kayaks available, and an Easter egg hunt at 11 a.m. for ages 1 to 6. No sign up. The brunch buffet features treats like pineapple glazed ham, lemon and herb chicken, crispy bacon, baked eggs with leeks and spinach, mashed potatoes, and an assortment of vegetables, salad, and more. Finish with delicious dessert choices. Cash bar available. Call 692-9136 for info and reservations for Easter brunch at Canuga.
Why settle for ordinary when you can experience the extraordinary? Head over to Mike's on Main, located in the heart of downtown Hendersonville. Step back in time to a classic soda fountain experience. Start your day off right with mouth-watering bacon and eggs, a fluffy omelet, or delectable French toast. Craving a juicy burger or crispy fries? Mike's on Main serves up all your favorite American classics with a side of nostalgia. Mike's on Main, where bacon sizzles, fries crunch, and shakes are blended with love, on the corner of 3rd and Main.
Now open for breakfast on Sundays.
And we're back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill.com. Bill, let's go right to something big that happened this past Friday. This has been one of those hurry up and wait things, and that, of course, is the big Heritage Fairmont, the Cedars. We've known about it. We've seen the construction fences up, and they've had a lot of paperwork, a lot of red tape to get through, which they finally got through, and construction has started, and there was a big celebration on Friday, and a groundbreaking, if you will. Over 200 people.
Absolutely. Yeah. I walked up to that thing. You know, you anticipate, well, I bet, you know, there'll be some Chamber of Commerce folks here and maybe an architect and some engineers and some contractors. And that very large event tent was packed full. It was packed to overflowing.
I mentioned to a few people when I was there, I said, wow, this, I think, is the very first time I've ever gone to an event in this town with over 200 people, and I don't recognize half of them.
A lot of 305 area code, wasn't it?
Sure.
South Florida.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of South Florida influence. Tommy and Fran's daughter, Shelly, of course, is married to, wait for it, Greg Coven, mm-hmm. a notable Miami real estate developer.
Yeah.
And they have a couple youngins, I think. So that's where Tommy's grandchildren are when they're not here.
Yeah.
And that's also where Tommy's mother was born, Miami. So there's been a full circle connection here. Of course, Tommy's father, Clifton Shipman, bought the Cedars property in 1976. And oh, by the way, also on that property, was the North Church Street Auto Bell. That's closed. They're going to expand the Spartanburg Highway Auto Bell.
They're doing rather than relocating?
I think they're expanding that, the Spartanburg Highway Auto Bell.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. And, of course, for years, that was right there that became the Chariot later was, of course, Clifton's Cafeteria.
I know
a little late for Clifton's Cafeteria, right?
I know Clifton's Cafeteria.
That was fantastic.
I've talked about this maybe on the radio once or twice before. When my dad and his three brothers all went to World War II and all came home, and then they lived in different areas, not too far apart, all in the South, they would meet the brothers, Uncle Sherman, Uncle John, Uncle Ed, and my dad, Harold, the youngest. Army, Merchant Marine, Air Force. they would meet and golf. They all golfed. So they would meet for golf weekends, mostly at Etowah Valley.
Right, back when it really was.
And they loved going to Clifton Cafeteria.
I know.
It was not open when I got here. It was the Chariot.
Yeah, the Chariot had moved already.
The Chariot was first beside the old Grace Lutheran Church.
Right.
Got here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on 7th.
Yeah.
And then it moved across the street, catty corner,
to the
old Clifton space.
One of the things I found that I really appreciated listening to at the groundbreaking was the, and I forget his title, but he's, of course, the Fairmont's Canadian.
Yes.
And he was the vice president of North America.
Okay. The first guy
he was representing the Fairmont.
I think he was marketing director for Fairmont.
Yes, and he talked about the places in the world where there are Fairmonts. This is the only first and only property in the Southeast that it will have the Fairmont name. And I liked his story about his honesty. He said, 2 years ago, I came to Hendersonville having no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
But it didn't take him long after getting here and seeing the Cedars and say, you know what? This is a perfect place for the Fairmont Stamp.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting comment he had.
Another really cool sales point on that is these condo owners are going to be able to swap condos, sort of like timeshares. They're not timeshares, but they'll be able to swap their condo for one in Tokyo. For
through the Fairmont
swap weeks.
Oh,
for one
wow.
in San Francisco, for one
wow.
in Miami, wherever they might be, worldwide.
Yep. Oh, interesting.
It's huge, and many of these I haven't gotten the latest percent sold, but a lot of them are sold.
Oh yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Why they can go ahead.
Let's move on, Bill. Let's go to
Very quick police blotter. They picked up three fellas, three gentlemen for burning down. I don't know why they did this. The smart shop storage buildings. In that big fire around this past Friday.
Yep.
At the 1900 block Spartanburg Highway. That's about all we know about that.
But okay.
On the happier news front, we got Charlotte the Mama Ray.
Yes. Yes. All kinds of a social media star.
Oh, it's just amazing. This was a report last Thursday night also from the city council meeting, like that ABC store thing.
Yeah.
From B.J. Raymer, all about Charlotte's incredible popularity being covered by news outlets from Brazil, Austria, Poland, New Zealand, France, Spain, the Netherlands, the United Emirates, Germany, Australia, Ireland, Canada, the U.K., Colombia, Argentina, India. We have brought in 578,000 Instagram followers who are coming down and spending money in our community. Charlotte has 600,000 TikTok followers and 2.3 likes. She has 41,000 Facebook followers and 26,000 likes. 45 high schools have asked Team Eco, ECCO, to do presentations on this on this phenomenon called parthenogenesis, where Charlotte basically is creating a clone of herself. We've done two late night shows, which were kind of spoofs. They were spoofs on Charlotte, the pregnant Ray with the mystery father or no father. We've done dozens of newspapers, magazines, social media. We were even in Forbes magazine, of all places, Scientific America. We've done CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, Nat Geo. I had a group of teachers last weekend that came down from New York City to meet her, that's Charlotte, and then talk to me about how we can get a curriculum to put into their schools on basic biology.
Wow.
So it is an amazing story.
Well, no pressure, Charlotte, but everybody's waiting.
Watching and waiting, yeah,
watching
that's what we
waiting.
Say in the lead. Although Charlotte still has not dropped those baby rays, the world is watching and waiting, along with the great team at Team Echo. And we got a nice picture here of Kinsley Boyette. Shout out to her as well as BJ. She's assistant director of the Team Echo Aquarium.
Fantastic. Bill, we've got a couple of quick minutes here left. Let's run. Can you hit us some headlines on community news real quick?
Sure. Readers can turn to page 6 in order to see that who were these four chosen for the 2024 induction into the Education Hall of Fame: Cindy Ellis, Gary Rivers, Hilda Hamilton, and Robert Dean Jones. Congratulations to those educators who have done so much contributions to the growth and development of education here in Henderson County. City Police Department also gets a very well-deserved shout-out for becoming the first police department in the state of North Carolina to fulfill the requirements of the International Association of Chiefs of Police trust-building campaign. And in this story, Chief Blair Mahan describes what's that involved. What was involved there, and why that is important for the city. So they can check that out on page 5. scouting BSA, that's what formerly known as Boy Scouts, they're for boys and girls now. So scouting BSA, and these are adult leaders, which in the scouting world are called scouters. So check out, we got about 7 or 8 of those scouters, the adult leaders, either pack masters or scout masters.
Mm-hmm.
We've got that pictured and written about. Nominations are now open. Check out on page 9 for Pardee's Physician of the Year.
Fantastic. There is still so much more. Touch on this very quickly, the jazz performance coming up.
And do not forget to go, because the halls of the Hendersonville High School will come alive with the sounds of jazz when the 6th annual High School Joy of Jazz Festival kicks off at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, March 16th. That's not the time to know. The time to know is at 4 o'clock. The musicians will showcase what they've learned with a free concert open to the public in the Hendersonville High School Auditorium in the Robin Tollison Joy of Jazz Festival, a good friend of yours and mine that we lost very, very unfortunately on that June Friday night of 2019, when actually in the very act of performing as a jazz drummer over in one of those Friday night music festivals in Asheville. A great guy, a great jazz musician, really a leader of the band. At any given time, he was leading, as I recall, four or five different jazz bands. He could do rock and roll. He knew all of it. He interviewed. He was a music journalist as well. He interviewed drummers, rock and jazz and other kind, all over the country.
And you and I can both attest for the influence he had on kids in band. He influenced my son. He influenced your son and daughter, coming in and teaching improv to the Hendersonville Jazz Band.
Yeah, a volunteer jazz instructor and mentor, and really, really positive influence on the Hendersonville High School Jazz Band.
Yep, so great thing to do this coming Saturday. Bill, there's still so much more in this week's Lightning. We've covered a lot of it, but there's always more news in the paper version. How can people pick up their copy, Bill?
By going around the county to any of the Lightning orange racks, and today is very nice weather, right?
Yes.
Or by going to the aforementioned. We were down a little bit for maintenance. The new and improved, you won't really notice much difference, but it's new and improved under the hood for us working the content management system of the HendersonvilleLightning.com, where they would click on subscribe in order to be walked through how to join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today. Lightning Thursday, or by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.